Welcome to our fourth podcast in the sustainability series and the second half of our conversation with our special guests, Aaron Davola and Raul Garg. Aaron is head of sustainability at Siemens Digital Industry Software. She is a mechanical engineer by training and has spent the last 20 plus years working in the industry. Raul Garg's background is in electrical computer engineering, being involved with the design and development of software and other activities for the last 20 to 30 years. So welcome to both of you. When we left off in our previous podcast, we were discussing machine design and sustainability.
Let's stay on that topic of machines and drive down a little deeper. When we look at machine operation and sustainability, what is the impact that it's having on factories and machines today?
Yeah, you know, that's a very important thing. There's one interesting statistic I'd read somewhere, which goes to the fact of a 1% reduction of industrial carbon footprint production, right? 1% reduction in that carbon footprint, that could mean 70 million tons of less CO2 emissions per year, right? So that impact is huge, right? And all that impact can be driven by making the machines more efficient in terms of how they are using energy and the CO2 impact that they can have. So to me, the machine operation can mean significant for the overall drive for sustainability for our planet.
And I think one of the ways that we're able to help better manage that is really getting that IT-OT convergence, being able to see, control, predict what's going on in your production floor, and then manage the energy use of your equipment or optimize that based on that. Looking at minimizing, for example, startups and shutdowns, looking at making sure that we don't have a line that's going down for a material problem, because then we get the best conversion of those resources, that electricity that we're using into durable products along the way. So really being able to use that intelligence we're collecting by running the machinery, understanding what the use profiles are, understanding what the energy profiles are, and then optimizing that along the way is a clear way that we're able to drive sustainability through industrial machinery.
Yeah. And I think along with the carbon footprint, I would imagine, Aaron, the whole recyclability of waste has a significant impact as well, right? Especially when you start thinking of resources that are used in the production of whatever that machine is trying to do, plus also what's used in terms of trying to run the machine as well, with trying to cool the machine, trying to cool the parts that you're trying to machine itself. So all those things, I would imagine, also have a significant impact on the overall sustainability impacts of how the production is running, right?
So, you know, one of the statistics that I think a whole lot about is where, you know, the truth of the matter is we use 1.7 Earth's worth of natural resources per year. So overall, we would need to decrease that by 59% to get to the point where the Earth can renew the resources that we're currently taking from it. And the challenge with that is we can't just look at CO2. CO2 is extraordinarily important, but we have a lot of other considerations. Water, for example, is one of those that fall right behind there. Looking at how we can maybe recapture some of the things that we waste. Heat is a huge waste in some places where we generate a lot of heat. We don't have a way to turn that heat into energy and a way to then reuse that for another purpose. And I think that those are the circularity models where industrial machinery could really play a big role in solving some of those problems.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. The whole energy resource efficiency, all those things are going to have a big impact in terms of how we overall impact the planet itself.
Very interesting statistics there. When we're looking at machine design, how would we perform machine design for overall sustainability?
Yeah, this is definitely something right up our wheelhouse. When I go back a little bit, as I think I mentioned it in the past, From a design perspective, most of the companies were trying to see how do you improve the overall performance of the machine, right? How do you change the throughput so you can maximize the utilization of how the machine is getting used. Now it's just not how do you maximize it, right? It you got to play a balancing act. How do you maximize it? Plus, how do you optimize it for sustainability as well? So those two factors have to be put into a balancing scale, if you will, right, to make sure that you're doing the right things. And that's where using digital twins to simulate hundreds and dozens of different variations becomes very critical and actually very, very important to help you make sure that you're making the right choices. Making the right choices in terms of how you're doing the designs, making the right choices in terms of the materials you're using, making sure that you are optimizing it for water, energy efficiency, waste, making sure that you're placing sensors on the machines to deliver optimum data metrics, designing the machine for end of life cycle recycling, disassembly. How do you change parts in there? How do you optimize it making it more recyclable at the end of life. So these are all important things that have to be thought through. And I really think there is no other way to do that process without leveraging a comprehensive digital technology and a complete digitalization solution that can bring all these things to bear together. Because you cannot try and optimize for one part or one challenge. You have to optimize for all these variables together, right? So it becomes a multi-part variable equation that you have to solve. And the only way to do that is by leveraging digitalization technologies right up front during your design process.
So when you're looking at all these variables of optimizing for sustainability, how do you ensure peak machine performance is sustainable?
Yeah. So, you know, so first of all, I think just to go back onto that whole design process, right? In fact, there was another statistics that was put out there that 80% of all product-related environmental impacts are determined during the product design phase, right? So if 80% of the performance, 80% of the environmental impacts are all going to be determined at the product design phase, you have to obviously make sure that you are trying to optimize that whole process to the maximum, right? So to help you optimize that whole process, help you optimize your performance, to help you optimize your sustainability requirements, there are various technologies that are available. One of them is around the whole concept of virtual commissioning, which allows you to bring all of the capabilities in a virtual format without actually having to build or construct even a single part. And if something goes wrong, you're in the virtual world. You can start from scratch again, and makes it very easy to bring in and take advantages and benefits of a digital twin, leveraging a digital twin, reducing your times and costs, making use of a digital twin to test out all of your different operations, optimizing operations, making your production more flexible and predictive, right? So all that can be done using virtual commissioning and digital twins, understanding even the carbon impact. So these things are very much possible. So not only are you optimizing it for peak performance, you're also trying to understand the sustainability impact, the carbon impact of how that machine will be running. I don't know, Aaron, if you have any thoughts to comment on that, anything else to add in there?
So I think one of the big shifts is that peak machine performance in the future will include its impact on the environment. So I think, Rahul, you hit on this earlier, that, you know, these factors, these number of variables that you need to solve for, that you need to optimize for, continue to grow. And I think that that's a big part of it. The other part of it, and, you know, we don't make these design jobs any easier, but you also have to look at that over time and over the entire lifetime of the product. You know, one of the big things that I think will continue to be something that we'll work on and work to solve is getting not just the virtual commissioning that which you just spoke to, but virtual maintenance and being able to really repair upgrade equipment with as little human interaction as possible. We talked to some customers attempting to run dark factories. This is one of their biggest concerns, is how do I maintain the equipment moving forward? And I think that that's a solution or a problem that we still need to drive through to solve, and one that I think is coming for us.
You know, Aaron, since we are talking about multiple equations and variables in there, even on the topic of sustainability, right? Sustainability is just not one variable by itself. That's another multi-part equation, right? All the way from global warming potential to ozone depletion, freshwater impact, minerals, metals used in it, water usage, radiations, all those things are another set of variables that need to be solved, right? Under just under the topic of sustainability. And I would imagine there's probably many more, right? That need to be addressed.
So we talk about regulation. I know you mentioned it at the beginning. One of the biggest pieces of legislation in the broadest is the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive coming out of the EU, with effectivity as a required reporting in fiscal 25. So really not very far away. And that requires entities that are either manufacturing or selling in an EU country to report 400 different environmental related KPIs. So to your point, it's not just a couple of things. Now, what that does for us is that push in legislation gives us the transparency we need to be able to give the information into these design processes, where, as you mentioned, so many of those impacts can be minimized and understood. So, but the truth is, the technology we need is available. And I think we're getting to the tipping point where people are really putting a priority on applying that wonderful technology we have to solve the problems. One of the other things you mentioned is that governments aren't only writing legislation, they're also providing incentives and funding to help solve some of these problems. So we've got some motivation, some funding, and we have the technology. And really, in industry, we have the momentum and the size to really make a big difference. So as depressing as it sometimes feels, I think there's so much opportunity. And I think, you know, if we talk again in 6 months, we're going to see that this is really moving along and really furthering our ability to positively impact the environment.
Those are great points, Aaron and Raul. But unfortunately, we are out of time for this episode. But we will pick up on this compelling conversation in part 3 of our conversation with Aaron Davola and Raul Garg, continuing to discuss the impact of sustainability in the industrial machinery industry. We hope you can join us. Bye for now.